Selfridges, the big department store in Britain, wants to take its customers on a journey. And on that journey, there are no separate men and women's clothes departments. Think three floors of unisex apparel complete with gender-neutral mannequins. That's what shoppers will find at Selfridges' flagship store in London. Not so shocking, says Jo B. Paoletti. She's the author of the upcoming Sex and Unisex, Fashion, Feminism, and the Sexual Revolution.
Well, it may seem extreme, but in terms of what's really on the runway right now in the fashion world, it's very fashion-forward, very trendy.
What kind of clothes are we talking here?
My guess is that, I mean, I'm sitting here wearing corduroy pants, a turtleneck, and a fleece vest, which I think my husband has all three of those in different sizes in his wardrobe. So the kind of thing that we would normally think of as okay for either men or women to wear. But as right. I understand it, they're also including some things that are menswear that women have been appropriating, like boxy cut suits that they've been stealing out of the men's department. And what used to be in the women's department is now also fair game for any men who would like to venture in that direction.
I had a bit of a reaction here, and the producer pointed out that she and I are pretty much wearing exactly the same outfit today, jeans and a button-down shirt.
Okay.
But surely our jeans are different, right? The cords that you're wearing and the cords that your husband are wearing, they're different somehow, right?
Well, they're cut differently.
Right.
But when you think of it, if we sold them in terms of measurements, here are a range of jeans, and here's the waist size, here's the hip size, here's the inseam, and you buy what fits you, then what would the difference be?
I don't know. It sounds like a lot of work.
Well, but that's the way it used to be when women started wearing bell-bottom jeans in the late 1960s. I would say they, but actually it was we, because I was one of them, went to the Army-Navy surplus store and bought men's jeans. And you bought them by hip size. And for there's about a 4 or 5 year period in the late 60s, early 70s, where women are actually going into the men's department to buy clothing they can't find in the women's department.
It sounds kind of what you're saying here is that this unisex thing isn't really new, or maybe not even much of a big deal.
The idea of clothing, men and women wearing similar clothing, has actually been with us for a long time. I mean, that used to be the standard for little children and babies was to dress them in what we'd consider a unisex or neutral style.
So did this sort of blue-pink distinction come before clothes changed? Were babies wearing the same clothes, but one was blue, one was pink? Where'd that come from?
That comes around the same time as women start wearing pants more often for sports. Little girls are wearing overalls for play in the early part of the 20th century. And you start having the first beginnings of a kind of gendered use of pink and blue.
So which came first, the sort of changing roles of boys and girls, men and women, or the changing colors of clothes?
Actually, the changing roles of men and women. It's interesting because the reason I started studying this a long time ago is because what I noticed was as men's and women's clothing started trading items more often, especially in the late 60s, where you have the beginning of this unisex style and men wearing flowered ties and all that sort of thing, that children's clothing didn't necessarily follow the same pattern. That sometimes what happens is when the men's and women's clothing would start looking more similar, the children's clothing has continually become more and more differentiated and more gendered, so that today it's very, very hard to find, up until about the last 4 or 5 years, neutral clothing.
This sounds sort of like the Free to Be You and Me sketch, right?
Where
the two babies are talking to each other. You're wearing blue. You must be a boy.
So, yeah, that's a great routine. And, of course, that comes from the time in the 1970s where there was huge interest in unisex clothing for children, unisex child rearing, and trying to create some kind of less gendered or ungendered future by starting at the very beginning with neutral clothing for kids.
Do we lose nothing, though? I don't know, a sense of masculinity, femininity, if all the clothes are the same?
Maybe we need to rethink those a little bit. The problem with the way masculinity and femininity are now defined, especially when you think of children's clothing, children's toys, is that a lot of what we consider masculine for little boys is not feminine. It's always been more acceptable for girls to dress like boys, but to say that a boy is like a girl is still considered an insult, a put down, a criticism. It's hard to think of them as being separate but equal. So if we could come up with an idea of different styles that are different, that are both great, and that are not exclusive to men and women respectively.
Joe B. Paoletti is an associate professor of American Studies at the University of Maryland. Her book, Sex and Unisex, Fashion, Feminism, and the Sexual Revolution, is out next month. Joe, thanks a lot for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.